Welcome to the You and Me podcast, the show where we dive deep into the beautiful world of weddings. I'm Laura, the founder of Wanderlust Creative, an international wedding planning and styling company servicing a global collective of loved up couples.
And I'm Andy, the founder of The Bridal Journey, a source of inspiration for brides, and Revealed, a wedding marketplace where brides can buy and sell pre-loved wedding items.
In each episode of the You and Me podcast, we sit down with a real bride who openly shares their unique wedding planning journey. From the excitement of the proposal to the magical moments of her wedding day, we delve deep into the emotions, the challenges, and the triumphs of planning a wedding.
Join us as we celebrate love, offer practical advice, and share the experiences of brides just like you.
Prepare for heartfelt conversations and inspiring stories on the You and Me podcast. Welcome to the You and Me podcast. Today on the pod, we have Bridget. Bridget, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm such a big fan of you guys and the page and everything.
Oh, wow. It is so good to hear and it's beautiful to chat. We were just saying we interview so many amazing people from all areas of the globe, but it is nice to speak to a Melburnian in our state and hear all about your wedding day. So for our listeners, please introduce yourself.
My name is Bridget Roccasano, now Cavallaro, and I'm like still transitioning. I have two businesses that are my own with my sister. One is Bianca and Bridget, a clothing label, and one is Booby Tape, a beauty product.
I reckon many of our brides are fully aware of Booby Tape.
I think it is like a life necessity. Yeah.
It's a good bridal day hack, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And Bridget, how long have you been doing this with your sister? Tell us about these incredible ventures.
Yeah, definitely. So Bianca and Bridget is 6 years old and Booby Tape's 5 years old. And Bianca and Bridget was always a dream of ours to have our own clothing line, but Booby Tape was literally, it was just something that we needed. So that's how that became. It was just like a second business. We kind of didn't think too much about it. Like, let's just do this because I need it. And it's blown up to something that's it's quite amazing.
It's incredible, you know, and it's, yeah, it was one of, we were speaking with a bride recently about startups, and it's one of these things that you didn't know you needed it until you had it, and now you've got it. You can't think of living without it, right?
I've got some in my cupboard. 100%. Have you got some?
Yeah, we've got some too.
Oh, everyone.
100%.
Actually, I think I might have used it for my wedding. I did, because I didn't wear a bra.
Yeah, for your dress.
Yeah, I used it for my wedding.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Anyway, so we'll move on. So tell us about the proposal. How did that all unfold?
Yeah, so that was, so Josh and I were COVID made relationship, and from when we met to when he proposed was only 7 months. That was quite like an amazing,
wow.
Like love little, yeah, he was my high school crush, so I was always in love with him. And he didn't really know I existed. and then during COVID I moved back in with my parents in the country where we're both from, and was my neighbor. And I actually DM'd him. I said, you DM me. He's like, no, you DM me. Then we checked and I DM'd him first. And then we just started, and we had to do a work trip to London, and our relationship was flourishing. I go, come on, we're going to London. And he proposed Claridge is this beautiful hotel room. I was so shocked. Like, I still remember the feeling, the overwhelming feeling. It was amazing.
Oh my goodness.
It's a good story.
Yeah, see, that is a good story. And because you were so, like, fresh, you wouldn't have been expecting something like that.
No, like, I think from the start it was, like, on, like, oh, it was really good. But I thought maybe the next year, you know, like, it was going to move quick and we both were like, we want to get married. But, yeah, when he proposed to me, I actually walked into the room and there was rose petals on the ground and I was like, did someone leave, like, a mess in here? I'm like, what is going on? And I didn't click until I saw, like, the light-up letters and the rest of it. I was like, oh, that's what...
Well, I mean, in your mind, you've had a crush since high school, so you've probably been planning this moment for much longer than 7 months.
Yeah. Technically, we were only together for this long, but
Yeah, I'm like, in my head, yeah, I'm like, in your head it's 7 months, in mine it's 20 years.
Yeah, so describe your journey. So did you have a wedding planner? How did you kind of start the ball rolling with your wedding planning process?
So I did. I can't highly recommend wedding planners enough. I had Generali International, the girls from there, they saved my life. It really does make a difference. And it's something I think if you haven't planned an event even before, you don't realize how much event planners really help. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they started. We actually started planning it in Mildura, where we're from, because we're both from regional Victoria. And it was just way too hard. And it was, you know, I think as every bride who starts their journey of where they're going to get married, it's such a process and such a roller coaster. It was really emotional. And then we realized, okay, we can't do it in the Mildura. Because when we started getting quotes, there's nothing there. So, like, Harry to hire all the big ones. Right. And they're like, oh, yeah. And then we need to pay for 7 days of staying in Mildura for the setup and the pack down. And the quotes were just like, I'm like, how many tears happened during that process? I was like, this is wild. So we canned Mildura. Like, there's no floor, there's nothing there.
Right.
Yeah. It's a destination wedding, really, isn't it? You got to bring everything in. Yeah.
Yeah, which was just out of our budget for yeah. one to create. So it ended up being back in Melbourne, but really happy with the NGV where it ended up.
Yes, at the NGV. Have they been doing that for long, Laura? You would know.
Yeah, for a while.
Oh, have
yeah,
they?
They're well dialed in there, and they make your experience, well, we can talk about your experience, but on a whole, there's positives that come out of that space. But so you enlisted the help of the team. Was the MVG, obviously starting in Mildura was an initial thought process or an initial dream. How did you then flip your mindset to an inner city venue? It's a big change.
It was really hard, and it's like I never thought it would be so hard and so emotional, the whole like everything and everyone's opinions and everyone's everything. So my family home in Mildura is on a lake. So Josh and I were like, okay, carousel, like that's it for us. I'm like, we're going to go to carousel. It's going to be the same feeling. I think that's how we kind of wrapped our head around it.
Yes.
And then my sister was like, you need to go see the NGV. And everyone was like, just go see a few venues. So we actually did go see the few venues, but I was like, no, we're done with carousel. When Josh and I went to the NGV, the feeling, I think it really, it's so important to go to each venue because you don't know until you get there the feeling that you get. It was overwhelming. We were like, no, this is where we're getting married. And we were actually so happy. We're like, okay, we're happy it's actually changed because this is it for us.
This is it.
Oh, good.
How many people did you have attend your wedding?
220.
Yeah, so that's another thing I think that we really need to sort of highlight there is that not only is location for that guest number hard, but that also it dictates your location, it dictates the style of venue that you can actually entertain. A lot of venues above 180 are quite function inspired, so you have to put your thinking cap on to be like, well, I want my space to have some soul. I don't want to just walk into, you know, a space that's got gray floors and white ceilings and fluorescent downlights because it's just a reception center for your guest number. It's that is a tough one too,
and I think that's one thing I didn't realize too. You need to start with your guest number. That's where you start. You don't start with the venue because, like, I see all these weddings. Like, I saw one at Gimlet not long ago in Melbourne, and I was like, oh my God, how beautiful, Stoke House. But I couldn't do that. Like, and when you have the numbers that I have, you have to start from an empty, raw space and like build up. Where Gimlet, you could literally put some candles down the table and you're done. It's so stunning.
Yeah, absolutely. How did choosing a space like you had, how did that then catapult the florist that you chose or the photographer that you had? Was that something that you leaned on your planners for or was those kind of elements? I suppose because of the industry that you, the background you have and you're in, you know, you're in fashion and you've got your finger on the pulse for so many things. Did you need to lean on your planners for suggestions or did you have all them that you already knew that you'd want to bring in?
No, actually funny. It's so funny because I was saying the same thing. We do so many events already, but it like hit differently doing a wedding. And it's like, I normally have my sister and it's, but this was like, oh my God, this is just me and Josh. Like, and And with the event that we were doing, like the girls from Generale International, they guided me so much. Like even with the florists, like Bridget, you can't just have any florists. You need a team. Like it needs to be a big production. Like they need, because with the NGV, you only had 2 hour bumping.
Yeah,
it's like these,
so
they need to be skilled. They need to have done it before. And I'm like, you guys just navigate. I told them kind of what I wanted and they just navigated the way.
So you went with Super Bloom by The Style Co. for flowers.
Yes.
So I'd assume they know exactly what's going on. They're a pretty big florist in Melbourne, if anyone hasn't heard of them before.
They are amazing. And the girls were like, Bridget, we strongly suggest. And I actually, I got them to do a mock-up, so I felt really comfortable. And from the minute I went with them, they were so like they were confident. They knew what they were doing. It was nothing was a problem. The flowers are amazing. We had these white roses with greenery and they were all imported from Spain because like they had the bigger head size and they were honestly incredible. Can't recommend them enough. They brought all the flowers to like our party the next day, which was really nice.
Cool. Double up. Perfect when you can do that.
Use them as much as we can.
Yeah, I did the same thing with my recovery, which is a good tip for our brides. If you can bring your flowers to your next day event, it's and then
definitely
talk to me. I'm just seeing a bit of a name in your entertainment under your supplier list. Talk me through that, please, because that is very interesting. So tell us more.
She was honestly really incredible. I had never seen her live. So you always like get a bit nervous. And she put on such a show. She did like a 40-minute concert. So it wasn't just like a song. Like she had backup dancers. She had, like the biggest thing I said, she had 2 backup dancers, this whole production, like it was dancing the whole time. They were strutting on the stage. I said for me, if I want anyone to take anything home from my wedding, it's that it was a party. Like it was fun, you know, like entertainment. And everyone that danced for the whole night was, I actually said to the girls, I said, your one mistake is that we didn't do the dance floor bigger because everyone was like in the tables because everyone was dancing. It was so good.
Oh, how fun.
Bridget, with your suppliers, like you've got a stellar list and we'll list them all on our Insta page when we release your episode so everybody can go and book and have what she had. But with your supplier base, you know, you do have pretty tight restrictions at the MVG. You have only got certain elements to work with when it comes to timing, when it comes to, you know, restrictions, what you can and cannot do within that space as well. It is not just open slather. So were there challenges when booking suppliers or having ideas in your mind of what you wanted? Did you face any of those challenges and have to pivot to a different idea or you know, really reassess what you'd requested or what you wanted?
I think from the start, the girls in my wedding planners told me that, you know, this is what it is. Like there's no flames like for candles. There's no roof installations. So we just worked around it. They have poles in the NGV, which you'll see on my photos. So we wrapped the poles with florals and yeah, we just kind of pivoted and did everything around that we could. We had, which I know Priscilla from Generale International said it was really hard. We had like a baby piano in the entrance with florals on it when people walked in. And she said that was a tough one. And she goes, I didn't even tell you, but it was touch and go till the end. And I was like, I'm glad I didn't know, but they got it in there. But besides that, we just worked around everything and they were amazing to work with the NGV as well.
And so because of the style of building it is, because there's a few restrictions, how did you lean into a wedding theme? I mean, your theme, there was lots of green, lots of white. It was classic. It's refined. It's elegant. It's timeless. You know, all the beautiful words that you can use to describe an event, right? How were you going to do that if you got married back home as well, or did you lean into the venue?
I always wanted timeless classic, which I actually now think it wouldn't have worked with the home wedding. Like it wouldn't have been that grand. Like, so I am really happy. It's funny how things all happen for a reason. Yeah. I am really happy the way it all planned out. I think it's important for brides planning their weddings. They need to go with who they are. And just from the start, like if you are, you know, if you're bohemian type, like you go with that, like I'm a classic timeless, my style, like I'm always in blazers, everything's always, so I just stuck so I don't regret anything with what my style is.
And did you have the same approach with your dresses? Is that how you went about your dresses as well?
Yeah. Definitely. And content's such a good tip for me, which I feel like is one of the best tips. He's like, when you're trying to figure out your dress, he's like, I need to know your Marge dress, like Marge Simpson. Like, you know, she's always in that blue dress. He's like, what's your Marge dress? He's like, like, before you come to your first fitting, think about your Marge dress. He's like, and I'm like, I know, I'm most comfortable in off the shoulder. And he's like, you need to be in your Marge dress on your wedding day or else you can't do something different. You're going to regret it. And that's what I did. I did my Marge dress, classic off the shoulder, the rouging, just simple, timeless, flattering for my body shape. And I felt so comfortable all day.
Do you know what? As a marketing student a long time ago, but it always stays with you, those kind of catch lines are something that people will remember forever.
I guarantee
you that what is your Marge dress will be in the minds of everybody listening to this. Oh my God, trademark that shit.
I tell so many brides now, something that has stuck with me through the wedding process, I'm like, your Marge dress. That's what you need to be wearing, a version of that.
Oh, that is, we've done a few interviews today and each bride has come through with like the most incredible pocket of advice and one that anybody can apply. You know, you don't just have to have a certain wedding to be able to apply the advice. That is so good. Mm. That had my little marketing brain going, I love that. That is amazing. Mm. Amazing. And so you had your beautiful full-length gown for your ceremony and then you had a dress change later on in the night. Was that an adaptation of your wedding gown or was that something completely new?
It was still off the shoulder because that's obviously what I'm most comfortable in, but it was completely new. I'm like, I wanted it a bit more fashion-y, a bit more like just fun. It was a touch more sexy. It had like the piping down the middle. It was short because I'm always in short dresses. You'll never normally see me in anything long. So that dress was just like a more me version if I could, but I loved that dress.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Look beautiful. And you touched on just before, you know, getting the quotes for marquees and the cost and how many days I've got to stay. Budgeting wise, nobody knows what a wedding's going to cost or what you should expect if you don't do it, right? If you don't do it multiple times, you're not supposed to know. So when you got those costs and then you went to the NVG and you had to manipulate everything back into, you know, a different budget it would have been if you'd done it on the private property versus doing it at a venue, your budgeting process, was there concerns? Did you have a figure going into it that fluctuated or did you just sort of say, okay, this is what we're kind of looking at. Is it achievable or what is it and how do we go about it?
I think there was concerns every day. Because it's like what you envision in your head and then you get the quote, you're like, okay. I think the best thing to start with is what you don't want. So it's like you need to know you don't want these things and what you do. Like for me, I'm like, okay, I know I want to spend my money on entertainment because like I said, I really, really want it to. There's nothing worse than people go home from a wedding and it's just like they were a bit bored or they're like, I'm like, I just want it full of entertainment. I want my, like, it's not just about me. This is about all of our loved ones. I want everyone to have a good time. It was entertainment and florals for me. So that's where I kind of like, okay, if I spend the money here and cut back elsewhere. Like the girls had these incredible chairs that they wanted and they wanted to do like some booths and it was like $20,000 in just that. And so I was like, as much as that's incredible, we're going to get the $2,000 chairs and that will go to my florals and like Ricky Lee. So I just kind of have your priorities of what you want to spend your money on and just cut back everywhere else.
And no one notices the chairs anyway. I mean, are you going to kill me for saying really, that? You're the planner stylist.
I think chairs are really important. Sorry. You only notice them if they're really, 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 really shit.
So don't go the shit.
Otherwise, you could have a $10 or a $30 or a $40 chair and aesthetically they may make a big difference.
As long as there's not linen on it with a bow.
100% polyester.
100%. Polyester, sorry.
No polyester. Chair covers here.
The NGV is such a colourful room, so we ended up just going with the Gove chairs and they were just invisible, so it was really nice. It's got the pink carpet, the coloured roof. I'm like, there's so much going on, so that's why we just stuck to the simple colours and clear chairs, so it worked really well.
Yeah, just have something like that too, like blend in really.
Yeah.
You're the stylist.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're on. I could be. Did with
it? It's something like, you know, when you paint a house, you don't paint the pipes a different color.
Correct.
So with a chair, you kind of want them to, same, as you said, like ghost chairs.
They've got to complement the space. And if you do, if you've got a really larry space or a space that's got lots of patterns going on or lots of angles and, you know, materials used, one wall might be rendered and one wall might be timber and one wall might be, you know, something else. You do need to, but it is, you need to think about it a lot more than I think you initially think you think need to think about it. But, you know, again, ghost chairs, they're classic, they're elegant, they're timeless. It's not something that's going to date. It reflects the venue really well.
They're affordable.
Tick, tick, tick. They're not $40 a chair. Tick, tick, tick.
It helps, especially when you need 220 of them.
100%.
And I think that's some really good advice. And that's what Laura always tries to say when we interview people is just pick your priorities and then alter your budget to fit what it means. It could be different per couple. If you favor food, you spend your money in catering, or you want entertainment, you want more of a party, you put your money towards that and then strip down in other places.
I feel like it's the same with fashion. Like, even when I give fashion advice when we used to do styling, I'm like, you know, have your good blazer. Like, it's always, you know, you have your good, your standout pieces, but then you can get a pair of Topshop jeans, like, great, you know. But it's always have your key pieces that bring everything else to life, what you can get away with and what you can't, type of thing.
And so just with, like, obviously with your background and the work that you do with your businesses, what was the involvement of Josh? Like, what did he focus on for your day? Did he have something that he was loved or wanted to include that was different to you? Or were you guys kind of on the same page of what was important? Because I know entertainment is usually one of those things that almost every couple agrees on, right? Like, if you want it, you want it, and you want it to be amazing. You know, that's generally pretty standard. But, yeah, did he have anything different that he was like, oh, you know, I love this, or I really wanted to include this element?
No, he was so – Josh was so easygoing, thank God, because I'm not. So,
praise be, like, Josh.
I'm like, this is – yeah, I was like, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm doing. He's like, I love it, I love it. If anything, he was like, do we need – I'm like, yeah, no, we need Hercule. We need Hercule. I'm like – no, he was so chill. I think for us it was just important that – like, we would have loved to have done a destination wedding, things like that. But for us, I think it was just important we had all our friends and family there. Like, for us, that was just what we wanted.
Yeah. And as we get, I don't know, as we get older and, you know, we're getting married, we're not getting married at 21 anymore. We're getting married with houses and businesses and life experience. You don't get to have 220 people in a room with you at one time, like, ever. So that would have a big sway on making sure that, you know, you could facilitate that with all your loved ones too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And reflecting on the day, was there anything that, I know that you said you had a bit of a problem with the piano, but anything that, you know, was unexpected or things that you would change?
Things that I would change. No, honestly, the only hiccup with the wedding that we had, which was really upsetting, was both of our grandmothers died the month of our wedding. So that was both unexpected. So not having them there, like, they weren't sick, they were both fine. Like, literally,
I got so a phone call. Sorry.
Yeah, so I get emotional even talking about it, really, because like my nonna was like my she's like my mother.
Yeah.
And she was so excited too, especially like when they see you go through relationships, and she was just so happy for me to be getting married and for her to die. My nonna died 1 month out of the wedding, and Josh has died like, we buried her the week before the wedding.
Oh my God.
I know. And she was the same thing. So my grandmother was just a phone call. She's just died. She dropped dead. And Josh's nonna fell and broke her hip and that's it. And
it's a pretty quick decline. So that was
really hard, tough, not having them with us. That was really hard. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's sad, but they're not they lived their lives. They were both, you know, one was 90, one was 87. So they did live their lives, and they would have wanted us to have a happy day. So it goes on. But regards to styling everything, honestly, I can't recommend wedding planners enough. The girls just, they had everything under control. And I'm sure they did have plenty of issues, but as good wedding planners, they didn't relay it on to me. And I'm so glad, because I just don't want to know. I'm like, I just rocked up, and it was stressful though. We got there before they had even started setting up because it was a 2-hour bumping. So I walked in, the room's empty, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I guess they're arriving in actually an hour and a half because they did half an hour in the foyer. And but no, it just all went up that quickly. It was amazing.
Magicians.
They sort it out, don't you, Laura?
Yeah, we do. We do.
Oh, well, I mean, like, I was surprised. You're just like, it's all cool when you're planning my wedding, then, you know, it somehow all magically comes together.
But just like you said, Bridget, there's a good planner will make sure that that does not fall back on the couple that is what you are employed to do.
Absolutely. I can't recommend it enough. Absolutely.
And so, lovely, with everything, I'm actually still, like, blown away by, like, what you included in your day. I think it was really, really beautiful. And talking to you, finding out why you included the suppliers you did, and I can't imagine you having anything other than white and green flowers, you know, just having that conversation with you. It was so, it's you and him, and it really reflected the venue beautifully. With the wedding planning, like, other than the Marge dress, because I think that is your, I think that's tip of the week. I love that. Is there anything that you would sort of advise couples to reconsider in the planning process? Is there anything that you did that was like, you know what, I'm so glad I did this?
Yeah, besides the wedding, one thing that I would advise couples to think about, which I wish I did do, is do a photo shoot a week later. I wish that I did my photos. We've done it with a bride before where we actually got a redress a week later and no one knows. And it's just, you can have your photos like on the day. I love my photos. They're amazing, but it's like, it's rush, rush, rush. It's like, you know, get your hair and makeup done. You can do everything properly. Don't have everyone around you and just go and do your photos in your own time. So I think that I wish that maybe I just had, I wish I did a photo shoot a week later. That's one thing that I wish I did.
Yeah, these kind of little, but these little snippets or advice is what people take away and can actually make their experience so much more amazing and so much more relaxed, because you go into it blind. And, you know, listeners of ours, not everybody can have the ability to invest in a planner. So if they're going through the whole, if it's stressful and you've got support everywhere you look, it's doubly stressful if you don't. So, you know, these kind of things, it gives everybody the ability to be like, okay, this is what I need to hold on to, or this is a piece of advice that could completely change how I experience the process. It's so important.
Yeah. I think if you are doing a wedding planner, again, as long as you have the right, like, vendors, like a good florist, a good everything, they know what they're doing as well, so you don't have to stress about them. You just work with everyone directly, it's fine. But it's kind of that, you know, you get what you pay for. I'm like, sometimes I feel like you can cut back in areas, but there's areas that you shouldn't, because you will regret. Like, I knew if I went with a cheap florist, I knew that I would look back and go, oh my gosh, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Where the chairs are, like, it's okay, like, you know, you just got to be really picky what you
absolutely
can and can't do.
Oh, well, Bridget, thank you so much. Congratulations. I'm so glad that it all was amazing for you guys. It looked like a beautiful day, and we are going to take all those pockets of advice that you've given us and apply it to
how many brides
the next purchase.
Are you going to use a Marge dress to?
100%, 1,000 of them. And yeah, 100, but it's amazing.
And then you're going to have to slip them some booby tape just for the, you know.
Totally. And then go and tell them to talk to Con because it's like, it came from here. It's like, we're just going to be feeding off everybody else. But Bridget, thank you so much for joining us. It was an absolute pleasure, hun. So
no worries. And thank you for having me. Appreciate it, girls. Thank you so much.
Thank you.